And so we began to experience the peace of God. We became complete. We became whole. We became unified and harmonious. We became fulfilled.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think the whole burden of Paul's message in this passage is that the Christian must never go out to battle without being properly armed. And I think along with that burden, he would suggest to us that we must never underestimate the craft nor the genius of our foe. As I look at verses 13 to 17, I see this armor, first of all, stated generally. And that's verse 13. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, there are a number of things we could say about that verse, but that's not the verse I want to emphasize. Now, Paul says, I want to be a little more precise. And so, after I've stated it generally, he says in verse 13, now I want to state it specifically. And that's what he begins to do in verses 14 to 17. And he lists for us six main pieces of a soldier's equipment. He makes reference to the belt, and then he makes reference to the breastplate, and then he makes reference to the boots, then he makes reference to the shield, and then he makes reference to the Roman helmet, and then finally he makes reference to the sword. And Paul uses each piece of the Roman soldier's equipment as a portrait of some very precious commodities in the Christian experience, which we will absolutely have to integrate into our lives, and without which we will utterly fail in this conflict. So what are those specific pieces of armor? Paul says, number one, we'll need the belt of truth. Do you see verse 14? "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." We will need, number one, the belt of truth. What does it mean? I think it means two things. Number one, I believe it speaks of Scripture. And number two, it speaks of sincerity in our Christian experience. Both those ideas are inherent in what the Apostle Paul is saying. Number one, it speaks of truth, a revelation of God in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the pages of Scripture, because it is only the truth that can dispel the devil's lies and set us free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It is by the Scriptures that we become strong and secure. And so Paul is saying that we must build our lives on the solid foundation of God's universal and non-optional principles of truth revealed in the Scripture. We must build our lives on God's truth. It speaks not only of Scripture, but I believe it speaks of sincerity, truthful living. This word truth here in the Greek New Testament is anarthros, that is, it's without the definite article. And on that basis, some take this to mean truth in the inward parts. It means that Christians must at all costs be honest and truthful. That is a very significant part of their armor against the wiles of the devil. Christians are called to build their lives on Scripture, and they're called to behave transparently and sincerely. Those two ideas go together. That's what it means to be girt about the loins with truth. But then secondly, Paul says, we need not only the belt of truth, but we need the breastplate of righteousness. Do you notice that in verse 14? We need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar, and we need to have the truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And there's nothing which silences the accusations of Satan like righteousness. That's what will silence his accusations. See, the breastplate, the Christian's breastplate, is righteousness. And I think Paul has in mind two kinds of righteousness. Let me share them with you briefly. Paul says, you must have absolutely integrated into your life two kinds of righteousness. Without these, you will be openly accessible in the vital areas of your life to the onslaught of the evil one. Number one, you need what we might call positional righteousness. And then number two, you need what we might call practical righteousness. So Paul says we must cultivate truth, so that we can overthrow the devil's deceits, his lies. And we must cultivate righteousness so that we can overcome his temptations and his accusations against us. Here are two very powerful ingredients that we need in our lives. One, the belt of truth. Two, the breastplate of righteousness. But then thirdly, he says, we need as well the boots of the gospel of peace. Do you notice that in verse 15? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says thirdly then that we need the boots of the gospel of peace because Satan has declared war. You see, we need the belt of truth because Satan is a liar. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan is an accuser. And then we need the boots of the gospel of peace because Satan is a warmonger. He has declared war on God's world and God's creation. According to the experts, Paul has in mind here the half boot. So he's talking about these sandals or your feet shod. He has in mind the half boot of the Roman legionnaire, which was made of leather, and it left the toes free. It had a heavy, studded sole, and it was tied to the ankles and the shins with ornamental straps. These kinds of boots, they were well built, strong for battle. These kinds of boots equipped him for long marches and for a solid stance when he was in battle. While they did not impede his mobility, they prevented his foot from slipping when he was in the heat of conflict. So Paul says, now the Christian needs some boots. And he calls it, do you notice, he calls those boots the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, it's an awkward phrase. It's not easy to understand precisely what Paul has in mind there. The preparation of the gospel of peace. But I think the key is in understanding that word preparation. That word preparation, hetoimazia is the word, means two things. And I think it gives to us two insights as to Paul's meaning here. That word preparation means, number one, it means firmness. The firmness of the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod with the firmness which the gospel of peace provides. And then number two, it also means readiness. These are two ideas that come out of that Greek word that is translated here, preparation. It means firmness and it means readiness. So what is Paul saying? I think Paul is saying, number one, that the Christian must be firmly. It's the meaning of the word preparation, firmness. The Christian must be firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace into his life. I wonder if our lives are firmly built upon the gospel. I wonder if we're utterly committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was always saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it and it alone is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. There is no message like the gospel, and no Christian should ever be ashamed of the gospel. And he should be willing to suffer for the gospel, even die for the gospel. Paul was deeply committed to the gospel. When Paul says we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I think he's saying that the Christian must be firmly built upon, must be firmly standing upon the gospel which brings peace into his life. You know, peace is a beautiful concept in the Bible. Peace is a concept in the Bible which describes the completeness, the wholeness, the harmony and the fulfillment which come through the restoration of fallen or broken relationships. There was a time when our relationship with God was broken. It was intersected due to our sin. But when we heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we learned the way out. We discovered a way in which those broken relationships could be repaired. And so we began to experience the peace of God. We became complete. We became whole. We became unified and harmonious. We became fulfilled. All of those ideas are inherent in the Greek and the Hebrew words, which are translated peace. Peace is the serenity which comes from submission to the government of God. If you want a one-sentence definition of peace that's very loyal to the Greek word eirenes and the Hebrew word shalom, if you want a one-sentence definition, that is it. Peace, which comes to us through the gospel, is the serenity which comes through submission to the government of God. Paul says there's only one place in all the world where that peace can be found. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we have received that gospel, if we have received that good news and are enjoying the peace with God and with one another, which it brings, we have the firmest possible foothold from which to fight evil. So it means, number one, that the Christian must be firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace into his life. The very word preparation means firmness. But then it means, secondly, Follow me now. It means, secondly, that the Christian must be constantly ready to share the gospel, which brings peace with all of those in his world of influence, because that Greek word, hetoimagia, which is translated preparation, also means readiness. Not only firmness, firmly built upon the gospel, but readiness. And the idea there is, I must be constantly ready, I must always be ready to bear witness to Jesus Christ, ready to give gracious but salty answers to the questions which come to me regarding the faith that I possess in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that in Colossians 4 and verse 6, the answers must be gracious, but they also must be salty. Do you know the most victorious Christian in the world? So long as all of the things are equal in his Christian experience and he's seeking to integrate all of these pieces of armor into his life, do you know that the most victorious Christian over Satan in all the world is the witnessing Christian? I wonder how many of us take seriously the mandate to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, there comes a time, I think, in the lives of some of God's people, they reach a certain level of their Christian experience where they think, you know, I've kind of outgrown the embryonic stages of my Christian experience, and now I'm above the level of witnessing. I think not. I think it never comes. I think Jesus Christ is the true witness. And I am to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I wonder how many of us take seriously in the normal, everyday context of our life, on the job, in our neighborhood, in our homes, with our loved ones, with our friends, those people that God has judiciously and sovereignly, providentially placed into our sphere of influence. I wonder how many of us take seriously the mandate to be a witness. That's what it means to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word means readiness. It means ready at a moment's notice to bear witness to Jesus Christ, to share with those in such desperate need what it means to be saved. Constant readiness to share the gospel is a stabilizing influence in our lives. It fits us for the battle against Satan. So Christians are people who are firmly building their lives upon the gospel of peace, and they are people who are in a state of constant readiness to share that gospel with others. You need the boots of the gospel of peace because Satan is a warmonger. He has declared war. It's an unusual thing that the Christian soldier wages peace and not war. He wages peace and not war. Satan is the progenitor, the father of war. The gospel message is a message of peace, but it's a declaration of war so far as Satan is concerned. The Christian wages peace and not war. Are you firmly built upon the gospel, which brings peace? And are you constantly ready to share it? Are you a witnessing Christian as well as a believing Christian? Paul says, hey, listen, put on the armor. Take up the weapons and go to war with the powers of evil.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.